But a lot of people, a lot of the Christian community thinks of the Bible and the Word of God and all of that as a theory, an idea, you know, not something that really matters in our lives. So what, like I said tonight, I want us to really delve in to the practicality. How can we make this a practical part of our life? So to start with, like I was saying, I wanted to go to a verse. I think you guys have probably all seen it, and you all know it exactly. So, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. How many times do we hear that? How many times do we see John 3:16 and don't even think about it, right? We just like, yep, that's John 3:16, and that's it. He gave his only Son, and not just gave him, but we will not perish, and we will have eternal life. How often do we live in fear of perishing? I'm not gonna survive this. I can't make it through this. God tells us, if you believe, I give you my word, you will not perish. What you see in front of you is not all there is. It's not even full reality, you know? So what about this, the next one? Which is Romans, it should be Romans, right? There it is. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I'm guilty of this. I have a friend in need and I'm like, he works everything together for the good. And it just throws out. And I think that sometimes it's a platitude. It's like, here, this will make it feel better for a minute. But it's true. It's so true. And we have hope in that. If we believe this, if we honestly and truly allow this to be part of our life and our mindset, there's hope in this. What about Jeremiah 29:11? Another one that I think we throw out a lot. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So when we're going through crazy times, like our precious sister back there whose daughter was sick, whose father had a heart attack, who's, you know, she had her father in the hospital and then her daughter went back to the hospital and almost died. Where is this? Where is this? Plans for my good and not for disaster. But guess what? Her dad's okay. Her daughter survived. God stepped in. He stepped in. That, I was just talking to her. This girl was sick. This girl could have died multiple times. She had a dream before she had the baby that she was going to die in childbirth. And here's the thing. That people have dreams, but God intervenes. Amen. God intervenes for us. He intervenes in our deepest, deepest need. And but he doesn't always intervene to give us what we want. He intervenes to give us what we need. He intervenes allowing us to grow and be strengthened in him. How about Psalm 37:4? This one, I used to love this one. take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. My heart's desire is a brand new Tahoe. Yeah. I don't think that's what he means. I'm just saying. I think that, and I believe this, because I'm going to tell you, this is from a girl who didn't come to really, really know the Lord until, I probably went to church less than 10 times before I was 35 years old. Knew nothing. I was a Christian because my mom said I was a Christian. God's love, everybody's good, all you have to do is be nice and you go to heaven, you know? So I didn't know, but I will tell you, I lived according to my desires and my rules. But when I came to know the Lord, my heart's desires changed completely.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for that. I tell the ladies in Bible study all the time, and y'all probably get sick of hearing it, but I mean, when I was before, you know, I was like, yeah, I'll probably go to church one day. I'll start going to church one day, but I'm not going to be one of those crazy people that listens to Christian music all the time. There's too much good music out there to listen. I'm going to tell you, Gary will be a witness. What's on when you come home from work? because it's beautiful and it feeds my soul, and I need that. I need that, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. How about, let's go to Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. That whole be still and know that I am God was a stickler for me before I knew him. People would say to me, just be still. Be still and know he's God. I was just in a wreck. You want me to be still and not do anything? What, is he just going to pop down and fix my car? You know? What do you mean, be still? But the thing is, now I get it. Now I get it. I can be still. I cannot be freaking out and going, oh my God, what am I going to do about my car? Oh my God, I'm not going to have a way to work. You know, all of those thousands of things that roll around in your head and keep you from being still. Now I can say, Jesus, you got this. I'm not gonna let those things take over because I trust you.
Amen.
Because you work all things for my good. And I believe that. So I think we tend to hear these verses, sing these songs, just as platitudes. We miss out on the treasure that is everything that he's given for us. He has given us the ability to be still. He's given us hope. He's given us a future. He's given us life. And we just take a little bit of it, you know? Why? Why would we do that, you know? So I just wrote, believe it or not, God's word was given to us for practical purposes. I mean, we hear the Christian sayings, and all of that stuff, but we don't let them ignite that power within us when we don't understand, when we don't know him, when we don't have that relationship. There's a power within us that needs to be lit, you know, that needs to be ignited, and that can only happen. I can't ignite it for you. I can't ignite it for you. He can ignite it for me if I let him. So I'm so grateful to him. I am so grateful to him that he's given me his eyes, because I like what I see so much better now than I ever did before. So I want to go one more verse. That's Matthew 5:16. As we go into ladies' retreat, the theme of the retreat is to shine. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So can somebody tell me what that means? What does it mean to shine for him? What gives us the ability to shine? He does. Yes. And we shine because of his love, right? His love fills us to overflowing, right? It's a love that we can't contain. It's too big for our bodies if we allow it, if we take it in, which is amazing. You know, it's beautiful. So tonight, my desire is for God's word to become more practical to us. I want us to start to see God's word as useful and practical and more than just ideas. And then one way we will see is to study and to put into practice what we learned. Practice makes practical. So I'm not claiming that I know any six steps or anything how to get closer to God. All I know is what His Word tells me, what His Word tells us. And if we go to His Word seeking to understand, He will reveal it to us. So He gives us direction. So just a couple of things that I wanted to kind of uncover and work out is, I think we need to know why. Why do we need to shine for His light, right? So I'm going to say, let's start with 1 John 4:19. We love each other. We shine for Him because He first loved us, right? And I love Him because He loves me. I am in love with this man. I'm in love with this man, but I'm first in love with this man. And I think being in love with this man allows me to love this man better. So, and this love that He's given us, that He first loved us with, is life-changing. I told y'all, my life is 180 from what it was. And when He loves me and I love Him back, when I love someone, it hurts to see them disrespected or taken for granted. It's so hard when I see Him not seen for who He is, see Him taken for granted. So there's one reason I shine. One reason you can shine is because you know He loves you. You know He first loved you, and He gives you the ability to love in ways that you couldn't ever love before. Amen. And then we have Luke 7:47. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. That woman is me. I have been forgiven many, many sins. Lots before I knew Him, and lots since. And lots to come, right? But He forgives me, and He loves me anyway. He loves me in the midst of it. I am grateful to this, to my daddy God, you know? I am so grateful. So another reason we shine is because we're grateful, because we've been lifted above our circumstances. We've been lifted above our past choices. We've been lifted above our mistakes. So, gratitude. How about we go to Philippians 4:13? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And let's go ahead and go to Acts 17:28 too. Nope. Did we miss one? If it's not in there, it's okay. Okay. I might have thrown that in later. Anyway, it's all about strength. He gives us the strength to shine. We can't shine without Him. We can do anything He calls us to do. We can reach people. We can forge through trials because He gives us strength. We can survive even the worst times because He gives us strength. How about, okay, let's go to Romans 5:2-5. So, this is a little long. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, which we've all talked about, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. So kind of all of that's encompassed there, but we've added hope. We have hope in Him. We have hope that, again, this isn't all there is. This, what I'm feeling in the moment, doesn't really matter. We have hope that he is in control. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. You are royal priests, not somebody else, not Pastor Steve, not Miss Gay. You are royal priests, holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. We have to know our identity. Who am I? Because I can't sit. Where did we sit? Oh, sit right there. I can't sit right there and go, yeah, that's for him, or yeah, that's for her. I am a part of this kingdom, and when Gary and I sometimes do baptisms, I always give a certificate kind of with verses about your proclaiming your position in the body of Christ. If you have believed and especially been baptized, you have proclaimed, I am an ambassador, I am an heir to the throne, I'm a princess. What I do reflects on my kingdom, his kingdom. So we need to remember that. We are priests. We can speak truth into other people's lives. We can speak life. As a matter of fact, right now on my mirror, I just have choose life written on my mirror, because we have a choice every day. We can choose life or we can choose death. As a priest in the kingdom, it's kind of my responsibility to choose life. I get to choose life and I get to be blessed by it, but I get to bless other people by it too. So choose life by knowing your identity. And then Romans 10:15. This is another Bible study one y'all probably get sick of. But how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. I don't have beautiful feet, but I have beautiful feet. You know, I have beautiful feet. I want to have beautiful feet. How awesome is it that he allows us to take part in his plan? Because he could save people without us. But if you've ever seen, if you've ever been around someone who's been hurting and seen the light of the love of God rise up in them, there's nothing like that. If you've ever been around somebody that didn't really believe, but then you get to be a part of their lives and you get to watch them grow, there's nothing like that. How awesome is that, that he allows us to be vessels for his word, for his truths, for his kingdom, for his plans. I mean, it's an honor we get to do that. So those are some of the reasons why we want to shine, right? So let's go with, all right, I know why. Let's tell me how I do this. And again, I don't know I don't know all of this. All I know is what I find in his word. All I know is what he tells me when I seek him. So we're going to go Matthew 13:12-16. I'm just going to leave it up there. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want you guys to notice. So what has happened is Jesus has told the parable of the weeds. He's telling the parables of the four soils and all of this. And what's really cool is the disciples are asking him questions. And you know, we've heard all of these stories, but I actually, it's written on the side of my Bible. And I wrote, they asked him questions. You know, they walked with him daily. They saw him, yet they still didn't understand completely. They had a relationship with him and were able to say, hey, why do you do that? Right? You know, why do you speak in parables? Tell me, explain to me, and right before he says this, explain to me, what does that mean? You know? Because sometimes, do you guys ever read something and go, what does that mean? You know? I mean, and sometimes you're like, I probably should know this, but I really don't. So I'm going to ask him, might Google some things. You got to be careful when you Google, because you get kind of, you got to always take what you receive and compare it to the word. Always. Does it conflict with anything that I read in here? And if it does, then you need to keep going, right? So I want to kind of focus on communication here. So what I wrote was they asked him questions. They had a relationship with him. A relationship is two ways. It's not just sit here, take it all in, and then go on and do my business. It is sit here, take it all in, think about it, ask questions, learn about it, continue to grow. My favorite, I have said this so many times, one of my favorite lyrics in a song is a Bob Dylan song. He not busy being born is busy dying. If we aren't growing in the Lord, we're not going to die if we're saved, because we shall not perish. But we're losing out. We're really losing out. So we want to continue to grow, and growing requires communication. We have to engage. We have to participate in this relationship with our God, who created us for himself so that he could have relationship with us. Not because he needed us, but because he loves us that much, and he wants to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with him. So engage, participate, ask questions. And it's not just, you know, you can pray and ask God. And honestly, when I pray, he reveals stuff to me, but sometimes he doesn't. He's put you in a body, in a family for a reason. He says, don't forsake gathering together, not because he wants us to eat together, but he wants us to be able to talk to each other, to say, hey, I don't get this. Help me, right? Help me process this. Sometimes you got to process it on your own. You can't use it as a crutch, but if you genuinely need help, he's put people in your life that want to help you. Let's see. So if we're willing to leave it at what we hear, just to hear it, leave it at the pew and move on, or do our daily checklist and read and move on, then we're missing out. So communication is so important. So, just a little side note, I love this when we studied John. Like, they asked him questions, but Peter, when Jesus was talking about being betrayed, they were all asking questions, and Peter's like, hey, ask him who he means, talking to John, because Peter was like, I don't want to. But John, the disciple who Jesus loved, was laying back on his lap and said, hey, who do you mean? He didn't have any questions. I want to be like John. I want to be that disciple that's laying in his lap saying, tell me what you got. You know, give it all to me. I want it all. Okay, so we need to, what it says is, can we go back to 12 because I talked too long? Yeah, so this is what caught me as I was reading just last week. To those who listen to my understanding, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. And then he says, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Do you guys get the difference between listening and hearing? There's a huge difference between listening and hearing. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus was constantly surrounded by crowds. He was surrounded. The Pharisees were in those crowds. They weren't there to listen and understand. So guess what? They didn't. Those parables went over their head. They didn't get it, and they missed out, right? But those of us who are listening, we recognize the value. And I just want to say, don't be like Esau. You all know in Genesis, when Esau has been out hunting and he comes in and he's hungry and he's starving and Jacob's cooking the stew and he's like, hey, I'll give you my birthright if you just give me the stew. This guy had missed one, maybe a couple of meals. He didn't recognize the value of his birthright. We have been born again into a birthright that gives us everything we need to live a whole, healthy, confident life. Don't underestimate that value. Don't give it away for a night on the town or somebody that makes you feel good or whatever it may be. Recognize the value of what you have. Like the man that found the pearl of great value, he went and sold everything he had because he knew the value of that pearl so he could buy that pearl and have it. We don't have to buy anything. We don't have to buy anything. We don't have to sell anything, but we do have to love him more than we love anything else. Because anything that we hold up above him keeps us from him, keeps us from his best. I'm going to tell you, I love my husband and my girls, but I don't love them as much as I love my Lord. And like I said, that makes me better able, makes me love them better because I want his will for them, not my will for them. I want his will for them, not their will for them. That's kind of hard with the kids sometimes. Really hard with the kids sometimes. I struggle with that a little bit, but I do. Ultimately, he knows my heart when I fail. and I love, there's a C.S. Lewis quote that says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. That, to me, is powerful. I'm gonna love him. I'm going to see, it's kind of like Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. That's not a lie. That's not a platitude. That is the truth. That is the truth. Peace. How valuable is peace? Yet, how many of us don't have it? And why don't we have it, you know? So we've got seek, listen, understand, right? So let's go to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Y'all knew I was going to throw this one in, right? This is my favorite verse. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I love what different versions say, pray with thanksgiving. Being grateful is powerful as well. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in you. Minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. I didn't finish that one. But fix your thoughts on what is true, what is trustworthy, what is right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And he will be. What does it say? How does it end? Does anybody know how that ends? I can't remember. It was supposed to be 4, 6 through 7. I just wrote the wrong one. But it's really good. Annette talks about the whatevers. When we start to get a bad attitude, she's like, whatever. And so that's pretty good for me. So prayer. We have to tell him what we want. Not because he doesn't know, but because I think we need to know, we need to acknowledge it. We need to have that communication with him. We have to pray. If we're going to know him and have relationship with him, we have to pray. And then Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. How often do we hear our pastors talk about believe? Believe him. And you can't, it's kind of a cycle kind of thing. You can't believe without knowing, but you can't know. So it's kind of a circle. So you just practice it. Practice reading, practice praying. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to become practical. It's going to become real. So even if you don't, not sure I believe this, pray about it. He rewards those who sincerely seek him. Seek him. Do you want him? He's going to reward you. Psalm 42:1-2. So, as the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go stand before him? I had this really strange picture in my head. David, he wants to be like a deer. I'm like a hippo. I am in the water. I want to be in the water, just my little nose sticking out. I want so much of him that nobody can see anything else. You know, I don't want to be a deer that just comes to the edge and drinks, which David, oh my gosh, he was a man after God's heart. He was he failed, but he loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. But I need all of it. I need to be deep in it because a little drink here and there doesn't keep me out of trouble. You know, it does not keep me out of trouble. Trust me. So we need to long for him. We need, and again, practice this. And the more you get to know him, the more you will desire him, the more you will long for him because it's so good. It's the only thing that satisfies and grows, your hunger for it grows, but it continues to satisfy. Unlike alcohol, unlike drugs, that you need more and more because you go crash harder and harder. I want more and more because he's taken me higher and higher and higher. He's taken me deeper into him where there is more. It's not costing me anything. It's not hurting anybody, but it's helping and it's taken me deeper. Okay, so we're gonna ask questions. We're gonna talk to him. We're gonna communicate with him. We're gonna pray. We're gonna seek. We're gonna guard him. And let's go to Proverbs 4:23 because this is pretty important. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Because here's the thing: if we don't guard our heart, we don't, and it's not just, again, like, the first thing that comes to my mind is things we see on TV and the things that we bring into our home or put into our bodies. But I have to guard my heart from my own thoughts. I have to guard my heart from the places that I've allowed the enemy, that I've failed in the past, and I've kind of opened a door. He comes at me hard in those places. And I'm just going to tell you guys, I just started a new job. I got really busy. My schedule kind of got thrown off. So for about a week, I was too busy to get in the Word in the morning. And how crazy is it, for days these thoughts come in and they're snapping at me. And what's crazy is when I'm not in the Word, I start repeating those things to myself. How can I know what I know and yet fall for that, right? And what happened was, you know, I mean, he tells me I'm not worthy all the time. that's my thing. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. And I start thinking that. And then I start thinking, so-and-so doesn't like me. So-and-so hate. I'm not fun enough. I'm not. All these things start coming into my head. And guess what? When I start repeating them, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then I become all of those things that I'm saying to myself. The power of life and death is in the tongue. His word tells us that. So if we're going to speak things to ourselves, we need to be speaking these things to ourselves. And I'm going to tell you right now, nowhere in the word does it say you're not good enough. Nowhere does it say that you're not pretty enough. Nowhere does it say that you're too sick and you're too much trouble. Nowhere does it say anything like this. It says that you are whole and healthy and you are beautiful and you are an heir to the kingdom and you are precious. That's what we need to be saying to ourselves. So we have to guard our hearts from the world and from our own minds. So communication, prayer, ask questions, seek him, long for him, and guard our hearts. Here's one thing I do when I first came to know the Lord. I kind of would open my Bible and go, okay, I read that, what about it? You know, but I kind of learned, and I heard a preacher say on the radio, he said, the best way to learn the word is to teach it. Hey, I got it. But the great thing is, we can all teach it to somebody. There's somebody in our life that needs to hear it. So you get with somebody and go, hey, let's talk about this verse. What does it mean? Start teaching it to somebody. Teach it to somebody that doesn't know. Teach it to your kids, to your friends. And the more you do that, the more you're going to learn. And I just kind of, first of all, I try to pray. You know, God, just show me. Show me what you want me to see. And it's usually not what I think it's going to be. You know? It's usually not what I think it's going to be, but it's almost always something. And I kind of, as I go through it, I kind of do what the four or five, I don't know how many W's, what, where, when, why, how. I read a verse. What's going on? How, what is that? What I ask when we do Bible study is, how is this practical for my life today? What can I glean from this? We've been studying Paul, Acts. We've been in Acts for over a year now. And I'm going to tell you, Paul's life gives us lots of practical stuff to use. This man was beaten. He was slandered. He was hurt. He was run out of town. He was imprisoned. Yet, he didn't complain. He didn't gripe. He wasn't bitter. He didn't. So how is that possible? Because he loved the Lord and he sought him day. You know, he sought him. He wanted to please him. He thought about the Lord's will before his own. So while Paul was one of the most important figures besides Jesus in the Bible, he wasn't given anything that you and I haven't been given. You have access to the same strength, the same hope, the same confidence that allowed Paul to do what he did. You have been given everything for this life and to walk in God's blessings and God's calling on your life. So, do y'all get that? Paul wasn't given anything that we don't have access to. His calling was more visible, but we have access to the same strength. I think that We tend to look at the people in the Bible and go, yeah, that was them. But it's not just them. So if you desire this or even want to increase your desire, I promise you he will honor this. He has placed you, like I said, in a family full of people who love him and want to love him more. If you're local, we've got Bible study on Mondays for the women and for the men. And then you have brothers and sisters eager to love on and talk with you to walk this walk together. So let's go. I'm going to skip Romans and go to Philippians 1:9-11. Did I mess? We got it? Or did it go away? I can read it. And ding dong. No? Okay. Hold on. As much as I go to this chapter, you would think, oh, yay, okay. So here's my prayer for you guys. And I'm going to challenge everybody in this room, okay? With this is Philippians 1, 9 through 11.
1, 9 through 11?
Yes. So I pray that your, and this is Paul talking, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. God's love in us will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For what I want you to understand, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Do y'all get the fruit of your salvation? Is all of these things that we've been talking about. The righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God who first loved us, right? So I challenge everyone here to keep on growing, to seek him, and to allow ourselves to desire him more and let him shine his light into our hearts and revealing and healing the areas that have been in darkness, because those dark areas keep us from his best. So, and sometimes we hold those areas back because we're afraid of the pain. But the pain is temporary, and it's so, so unimportant when you come to realize the relief that comes from the healing, right? So that's the challenge. Just keep growing. Check yourself. Think about choose life, right? Choose life, you know? Be challenged by that. And tonight, if anybody is ready, if they want to go deeper, if they want to have their life change and become a brighter light to shine for his glory, and would like prayer to be fertile soil, to receive more of him and grow the fruit of his righteousness, come forward. There are people here that will pray with you. And we're here. It says, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will give it to you. Amen. So in this moment, if you're ready to go deeper, then let's pray together. Let's take in all that he has for us. I'm just going to pray right now before we close. And I just thank you, Daddy God. I thank you for your word that is so powerful and so full of everything that we need. I thank you, Daddy God, that you are our King and you're faithful, that you never fail us, and you are our source for hope, peace, and understanding beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. I thank you that each and every person here has received your love and your power and your strength, and that they will come to know it in a more powerful way. We praise you, Daddy God, for your love, and we thank you in Jesus' name.